The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump, we go in a different direction from what we normally talk about and promote. In fact, this may come across as a counter message, but trust me, we make our case very well, and we think that this episode needs to come out, especially right now during these weird and uncertain times. So we talk about when eating junk food and being lazy and things under those categories are actually healthy, when they are things that you're doing because they are better for you at that moment, okay? But there's a fine line there, and we kind of break it down. So first, we talk about what healthy actually means, how it's a sphere that encompasses many different things, not just the physical, but the mental, the spiritual, relationship health, and how all of those things kind of overlap and communicate to each other. How if one thing is off, it tends to make the others off as well. We talk about how to mitigate some of the negative effects of some of those things that I just talked about. We talked about the longest living people in the world and the things that they do that make them really healthy that you wouldn't normally think about. The mitigations that we talked about, by the way, are great. So we give you a lot of great tips on how to, if you're going to eat junk food and if it's healthy for you at that moment, like things to do. And if you're going to drink alcohol, things you could do to kind of mitigate the physical negative effects. If, let's say, you want to enjoy a glass of wine with your spouse. By the way, one of the things that we mention in there is Z-Biotics. This is a genetically modified probiotic that you take right before you drink alcohol. And the bacteria actually create an enzyme that breaks down some of the negative byproducts of alcohol. We tested it ourselves when we drank, and we felt way better the next day. So this is something you could do if you're enjoying a little bit more wine or whatever than you normally do. Take Z-Biotics with it. It'll help with the negative effects. And because you're a Mind Pump listener, if you go to zbiotics.com, that's zbiotics.com/mindpump, you'll get 10% off any of their products. Now, this episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Vuori. Vuori makes the most comfortable, nicest looking athleisure wear you will find anywhere. Of course, you order online. It gets, you know, sent right to your door. If you're at home right now, like everybody else is, you want to wear comfortable clothing, but you don't want to look like you're just wearing sweats, like you're bumming it. You still want to kind of look good. Vuori, go to Vuori. Their stuff is amazing, and they have a guarantee with their stuff that I've never seen before. I think it's a lifetime guarantee. If any of it, you know, falls apart or something happens, return it, and they'll give you some new stuff. It's very high quality, great, again, athleisure wear. Comfortable, you can work out in it, you could go out in it, relax in it. Sunday joggers, those are my favorite pants that they have. Make sure you check those out. And, you know, of course, we have a discount for you because you're a Mind Pump listener. Just go to VuoriClothing.com. That's VuoriClothing.com/mindpump. And then the code on the page that comes up will give you 25% off. Also, all month long, MAPS Prime, MAPS Prime Pro, both 50% off. MAPS Prime helps you design your warm-up and priming sessions before your workouts. MAPS Prime Pro is purely correctional in nature. If you need to work on your hips or you need to work on your shoulders or just general mobility, MAPS Prime Pro is the program for you. Here's how you get half off both those programs. Go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and use the code PRIME50. That's PRIME50, no space, for the discount. I think this episode might be controversial, although this is a message that we've been communicating for a long time. But I know it's going to be something that's going to stir up a little bit of controversy.
Well, we haven't dedicated a full single episode just to this topic, which I think you're right. I think it deserves that. I think we need to be clear, very clear on the point.
Absolutely. It needs to be communicated properly and very effectively. And the reason why I think this is controversial is because our space, the fitness and health space, communicates very well in some ways. And one of the ways that they communicate, I think that they over communicate, are the physical the physical benefits of eating right and exercising, and why that's everything, why that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And I do think they do a poor job of not looking at the whole picture. They don't see what health really, really is.
Well, there's too many blanket statements that are always made, and it's almost like, you know, it's predictable to where they're not accounting for nuances, and they're not accounting for everyday life that interrupts perfect patterns of trying to shoot for these, like, quote unquote healthy habits of maintaining this perfect kind of health.
I also think I'm very guilty of you know, promoting that message.
All of us were.
Early on as a trainer. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really feel like, you know, I approached fitness very science and mathematical based. It was, you know, this is the science that supports when we do these things. This is how the body adapts and changes. Yeah. Here's the math.
Tilapia broccoli equals abs.
Here's the math based off of, you know, your age, your movement, and your goals. And, you know, now it's just a matter of discipline. Can you follow it? And the ones that can see the results and are happy and healthy. The ones that don't have issues they have to work through, and they're just not there yet. And that really was, now I'm saying that in a way that I know that I probably didn't communicate that as a young trainer, but I'm sure that I was presenting somewhat that message. And so I think it took me a very, very long time to kind of see the whole picture and really start to understand too that who you're communicating to. Like, you know, when I'm talking to a competitor, which is a very small percentage of the population, how I'm talking about health and wellness and fitness is completely different than I am the general pop. The general pop is not looking to get on stage. It's not their sport. They have so many other aspects of their life that they value, and that's important to them. And as a trainer, I think I was always trying to, you know, make them like me. It's real similar, like leading like a team with in business. Like, the mistake I made early on in leadership was very similar. I was always trying to make my staff like me. You know, these are the things that made me successful. Therefore, let me see if I can make them all be like me. And it's this never-ending vicious cycle when you do that of turnover on people, because you're just never going to find people that are exactly the same as you, versus learning to work within their parameters and make them better.
It is very much the Western medicine and scientific approach to break complex systems up into segments and then to dive deep into those segments. And that's actually a strength of the scientific approach and the Western medicine approach. If you want to know deep knowledge about the hormone system, for example, or the heart, you are going to get some details when you go through that approach. But the weakness of it is forgetting that health is a complex, interconnected sphere. This is where you tend to forget. So if you go to one doctor and you have digestive issues, that doctor is going to look at your digestive issues just through their lens and really maybe not consider other things. Like, if I go to a hormone specialist, they may think, well, let's test your hormones and see what's going on. If I go to a psychologist, they may think your stress and your relationships are causing your gut issues. If I go to a gastro specialist, they may look at, how's your gut inflammation? Maybe your microbiome is off or whatever. If I go to a nutritionist, they're going to look at my diet and think maybe the things I'm eating. And so we tend to forget that it's this really big interconnected sphere. That's what health is. And this really hit home for me years ago when I started to really pay attention to studies that were done on longevity. And they would show things like, okay, eating healthy and exercise definitely contributes to longevity. That was nothing shocking there. I knew that already. I would preach that all day long.
Yeah.
But then I would see things like relationships, having good relationships.
Community.
Yeah, community. People who have a spiritual practice. Did you know that people who have some type of a spiritual practice, whether it be religion or meditation or philosophy, tend to live longer and be healthier, even when they control everything else. Like, that's weird. Like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Right? So all these things contribute to your health. And one study in particular, really hit this home for me. It showed that having bad relationships was as bad as smoking cigarettes regularly. Actually showed that. They actually showed if you had bad relationships, stressful relationships with the people around you, it's just as bad for you as smoking a bunch of cigarettes or having a really, really poor diet. Now, the reason why that hit home for me was it made me think back to my early days of working out and to a lot of clients that I trained who became so obsessed with exercise that they literally discarded relationships or treated relationships poorly because they were so obsessed with eating perfectly and exercising. So it's like, I can't go to that birthday. That's leg day. Or I'm not going to go out with my friends because I never have a glass of wine. And that's what you're going to enjoy, a little bit of wine. Nope, can't go off my diet. Not going to do it. And it feels, self-righteous. I think if you're stuck in that, if you're in that space. But when you actually look at the data, so many things contribute to your health. And it's not just the stuff that I think is obvious. And that's why I think this episode needs to happen, especially right now when I think I could say this confidently. Collectively, we're probably experiencing more stress and anxiety and uncertainty now than we were 7 months ago or a year ago. I think I can say that pretty safely.
Easily.
Yeah, I think people are more worried. People who maybe even haven't lost, maybe you still have a job and everything's still financially secure. Maybe you're not even worried about, getting sick and COVID or all that stuff. But your whole routine is different. Like, instead of waking up, getting dressed, getting in the car, drop the kids off, whatever, you go downstairs in your pajamas, kids are doing whatever. Okay, my structure's all gone. I have no schedule. It's all stress.
Everything's uprooted.
Yeah, it's all. So right now, I think this is a message that needs to be communicated because I think it's a very important one.
So the question is, when is eating junk food and being lazy actually healthy?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah,
that's a very, very good question. I think we should dive into that. I think it's important to break down health into some of the known categories first, right? Like, there's physical health, which I think that's the one that it's easy to explain, right? That's your muscle, your function. Can you move well? Do you have good stamina and strength? Is your body fat percentage appropriate? In other words, do you have healthy body fat percentage levels? There's a range there, by the way. It's not shredded and it's not super overweight, somewhere in the middle. Your hormones, your brain health. There's the physical, the vessel that you're walking around in, your body. There's
are you
that
an able
kind of
body? Are
yes.
you able to do activities? Are you strong? All these things like matter in terms of health.
Yes. Then there's mental health. Mental health would be like how you think about things. Can you think clearly? Are you able to be calm and focused? Are you free from mental, OCD or disorders or
anxiety,
things like that, right? That's the mental side of health. Then there's a spiritual health. Spiritual health is like, do you feel gratitude? You could have great physical health, great mental health, but just feel flat, feel like life has no meaning, feel like you don't feel grateful for things. And spiritual practices really help a lot with that, right? Can you let go of what you can't control? Justin, you said this before. Can you think outside of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
That's your spiritual health.
Yeah, I get reminded of when we had Dr. Roy von Togma. I think how you pronounce his name. But like the belief system, having a belief system in place can really drive your health in a positive direction. And I think people like discount the fact that like believing in something like it really does change you physically and like physiologically can do great things for you.
Totally. Relationship health. This one Adam loves to talk about all the time. This is extremely important. Very social creatures. Are you able to communicate honestly with the people that are close to you? Do you feel like you can depend on them? Depend on you? Do you feel validated and supported? Now, I just named four. I mean, if we wanted, we could really break down and go crazy with all, but those are the big four, right? Does physical health contribute to or influence relationship health? Let's just pick those two for
example. They all do. They all bleed into each other.
All of them, right? Yeah. Like, let's say your physical health is so poor that you can't get out of the house, or you're so unhealthy that you feel inflamed and irritable and angry all the time. Is that going to affect your relationships? You know, I know this when I would get people who are super obese as clients, help them lose weight, improve their physical health. Their relationship health would improve because of it. What about if you have poor spiritual health? Will that affect your physical health? You know, if you don't feel gratitude, if you feel like life doesn't have any meaning, are you going to want to be as active? Are you going to want to, you know, eat in ways that take care of yourself if you feel like there's no meaning to life? What about your mental health? If your mental health is down, I think everything else is going to be suffering as well. So they all contribute to each other. And the things that you do, even exercise and eating, can feed each one of those things. And you got to know which one needs more help.
Both negatively and positively.
Correct.
I think, and what you'll find is, I think there'll be like this, there's going to be a theme like in this conversation. And I really feel like moderation is the key driver in all of this, because each one of the things that you just listed, there's a spectrum and there's extreme versions on both sides. And I think extreme on both sides is unhealthy.
Totally.
No matter which one of those that you're talking about. And so the real key is to learn how to have moderation through all of them and to be mindful. Right. And then also not to abuse. Like, right? So I think that's the other thing to understand too, that even a good thing can be abused. And I think that's the thing that's probably been weighing on you, Sal, because you've brought this up several times this last week, that we're seeing right now in the fitness space. Like, we see a lot of fitness people that are scrambling what to do, and understood, right? Their businesses are upended right now, or they lost their job working at the gym, and they're scrambling to find answers or ways to monetize and make money. And, you know, they're pushing this message. And what I think is important to understand is that that's them worrying about their own personal. When you're thinking about who you're communicating to, the masses, you know, trying to push people in a direction of, you know, working out, training hard, staying on that, when their mental health is completely out of whack right now because of what's going on in our world, you may not be helping. You think you may be by presenting that message, but in reality, that person doesn't necessarily need that. And really what they need from a fitness professional right now is to help them figure out these kind of four categories that you broke down and where they need to put the most energy.
Totally. Look, as a trainer, when I would get the type A, you know, and I mean real type A, everybody likes to say they're type A. I'm type A because I like to work hard. It's not a badge of honor, by the way. It's a dysfunction. But let's say you're the true type A classic, overdoes everything, hyper-perfectionist, works like crazy, you know, full steam ahead at everything that they do, right? So I get that person that hires me, and they're like, okay, you know, what are your goals? I want to burn body fat and I want to build muscle. Okay, so how long have you been? I do 5 days a week of Orange Theory. I run twice a week. I've done, you know, I did the HCG diet a couple times. I cut my calories down to 1,000. Like, I'm realizing.
Do power yoga.
Yeah, I realize that this person is a classic, you know, type A type personality. The way I'm going to communicate them is going to be very, very different from the person who, you know, they come in, they're overweight, and I've never worked out before, I'm a little afraid, I don't know if I want to do it, I don't have the time, it's not fun for me. Very, very different approach. The type A person, the way I'm going to coach them is to be okay missing a few days of working out. In fact, that's what you need. You need to kind of take some time off. And you know what we need to do? Slower, easier type workouts. And you know what's probably a good idea for you? Sit on the couch sometimes and just watch something and just relax. Or how about you read a book, maybe a fiction? Like, stop reading so much nonfiction. Maybe read a book of fiction, see how that helps. Totally different way of communicating. And both of them are going to improve their health by following the tailored advice.
Yeah, going back to kind of Adam's example of the spectrum and having both extremes, I think it's really important. I think people don't give any attention to where they can assess where they actually like are on that spectrum. Like, where would you fall in that spectrum in terms of, you know, your workouts, in terms of your nutrition, in terms of like your relationships, like in terms of like your spiritual practices or like your belief system? Do you even have one? Like, all these types of things. Where are you on that? Are like 0 or 100? Like, I'm all in. And then like figuring out too how this is where it is important to then understand how how to optimize and adapt and when to do what and where to come back to homeostasis. So this finding like a balance, which I know is, it's kind of like a term out there that's just like turns on a deaf ear, like finding balance.
Yeah. What does that mean?
What does that even mean? Like moderation, like this. So like being able to kind of figure out like where I could tilt the scale to create that sort of home base, and then I can stretch myself and I can come back and I can always find that again to remain healthy.
This reminds me of the conversations that I used to have with my competitors. Like if I was coaching a bikini or a bodybuilder or a men's physique competitor, one of my favorite things to do during their routine when I was going through it with them is to intermittently introduce fasting days. And it would always strike this up a conversation of why, mm-hmm. like, I don't understand, coach, like, why are we doing this? Like, there's nothing to support really having a competitor getting ready for a show to just not eat food entirely for a day like that.
They're so afraid of losing muscle.
Right, exactly. Their primary goal is to build muscle, and that's why they're doing it. But one of the things that I would always try and remind them that this isn't just about macros and calories and in and calories out. There's an other side to this beast, and your mental state and your relationship and connection to food is extremely important to me. And one of my best ways to train that or teach that would be to just totally throw a curveball in the middle of their coaching routine and be like, tomorrow you're fasting. And they would freak out, and then it would then give me the opportunity to speak to that. Listen, this isn't just about me helping you get to a certain point on stage. It's also about helping you for the rest of your life. And one of the things that we don't ever want to be is become a slave to this. I've got to have this many, I got to do this, I've got to do that. And I'd have to show them that like this is not going to kill your gains in one day. In fact, it'll give you a great opportunity to work inward and focus on other aspects of your health and fitness. And so I loved doing that, mainly too, because I knew not a lot of coaches were doing that. I didn't know anybody in the space at that time that was kind of disrupting in that way where they were showing competitors to fast, because I understand that there's nothing supports me scientifically for, you know, this is going to add muscle, because that's your main goal. If you're getting on stage and presenting your physique, it's all about either building muscle or holding on to the most amount of muscle when you lose the most amount of fat. Mm-hmm. And fasting just doesn't really speak to that. But what I understand is that the relationship with food, the mental health, the spiritual, all the other aspects that you're talking about right now, how much that plays a role in their overall stress, their overall hormones, and everything else that goes into presenting the best version of themselves on stage. And I know teaching that during that phase is so crucial. So,
I'm so glad you used that example. Fasting is actually a beautiful example of what we're talking about. If you had a client that came to you that didn't like to eat, maybe has a history of anorexia, fasting's the worst thing.
Yeah, right. Bad idea.
You don't tell them to not eat. That would be absolutely catastrophic. Fasting to lose weight in general is a terrible way to use fasting. Now, fasting is a spiritual practice. Exceptional. It's just a way to detach from something that you think you need to have every single day. In fact, it's present in almost every single major religion in some way. You know, the major religions for sure, because it's a way to practice detachment. You know, it's a tool like anything else. Like if there's a hammer on the table and I said to you, is that hammer good or bad? Well, neither. It's just a hammer. If I take it and I hit you over the head with it as hard as I can, it's bad. Now it's bad. If I take that same hammer and I build a house for you or fix something for you, now it's good. It's all in how it's being wielded, and everything can be abused. Anything and everything can be abused. Can junk food, being lazy, and alcohol be abused? Yes, of course, that's easy. Everybody knows that. Those things are abused quite often. Can eating super clean, exercising super consistently, being hyper focused on being perfect with everything be abused? Yes, all the time. I see this all the time in the fitness space. It's not as common, but it's not as uncommon as people would think. And so this conversation, I think, needs to be had on how things can be healthy and how they can be unhealthy. And I think it all boils down to how it's being used. Well, look at alcohol. Here's a great example. Alcohol, you know, a lot of people in the fitness space will say alcohol has zero value. Okay, from a physiological, maybe physical standpoint, they're probably right. I can't think of any muscle building, fat burning, physical health promoting, you know, benefits of alcohol. But what if alcohol is a part of your spiritual practice? What if you're a Catholic and you know, Sunday you go do church?
What
and
if it's the only way you get laid with your wife? It's very important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, along those lines, what if you, you know, once a week you like to sit down with your wife, put your kids go to bed. You and your wife like to split a bottle of alcohol. So it's not like you're getting destroyed or smashed and, you know, you each have a couple glasses and you both enjoy it and it relaxes you both, calms you down, opens up conversation, you communicate. Now you're helping your relationship health, maybe a little bit of your mental and spiritual health. And are those things going to benefit your physical health? Yeah, they are. Now it's okay. Look, you know, back to alcohol, there's millions and millions and millions of Americans drink alcohol, on a weekly basis. Very, very small percentage of them become alcoholics. There definitely is an abuse pattern, and so we're not promoting that at all. But, you know, something like junk food, for example, let's talk about that for a second. How the hell can junk food even be considered healthy ever? Well, it usually isn't. You know, most of the time, when people eat junk food, it's not good for them. But, you know, I'll give you an example of when junk food was healthy. We're all on lockdown. I got my kids. I hadn't seen my kids for almost 3 weeks because I had gotten sick and I wanted to be over. I had all the scary symptoms. I had the dry cough, the fever, the whole deal. Jessica had it too. And, you know, I have my kids half the time live with me, half the time live with their mom. They were supposed to come to my house. I was sick. So I said, no, don't let them come over here. And then I waited an additional 2 weeks after that just to be perfectly safe. So I didn't physically see my kids for almost 3 weeks. Very, very difficult thing. So when they came, you know, one of the days I said, hey, do you guys want to bake cookies from scratch? You know, my daughter, of course, freaks out. She gets super excited because it's a treat. It's not like we eat cookies all the time. Mm-hmm. My son, you know, he's 14. Nothing gets him excited. So he's like, whatever.
Yeah.
So
cool idea.
Yeah, dude. He's always at like a level four. I don't care what happens. He's always like, whatever. So
teenagers.
So we did. We all, you know, mixed the cookies, made them together, joked around, played music, waited for them to bake. They came out, and then all of us, you know, rented a movie together, and we all ate cookies together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, high in sugar. I didn't get like, you know, they're just cookies, so they're high in sugar. They're, you know, it's got chocolate chips in them. Probably, I didn't count the macros. I wasn't looking at the calories. I'm sure I went over my calories for the day just from the cookies alone. But the health, it made me healthier that day. I felt it. I felt it in my relationship with my kids. I felt it in my soul, in my mind. And those things also contribute to physical health.
Well, you have to understand the potential cascading effects that something like that has. And what that reminds me of was a hack that I kind of fell into, I don't know, it was probably almost 4 years now on the podcast. So if you've been listening for a long time, you know I've shared it. And it was a relationship hack for Katrina and I, you know, both her and I, you talk about type A people. I think we're both like this and go, go, go. And, you know, if there's an Achilles heel in our relationship, very easily can we both get tunnel vision in our goals or what we're doing at work. And one of the greatest hacks I ever found was, you know, let's organize a time where we're sitting down and listening to a book together for an hour. Now, it wasn't the actual book that we were reading that did so much great work in our relationship. Just like it's not the actual cookies that are
sure,
the healthy part of this, or that's okay about it. It's the process in which you gather with your family, or the process in which I sit down with Katrina and we're no longer thinking about all the things in the rest of our day that distract us. We're focused on baking cookies, or we're focused on this book that we're listening to, and then it's what happens from that and what that promotes. It would promote this incredible dialogue and deep conversation where her and I would connect on another level. Now, that's an easy example for the average person because it's reading doesn't sound like a negative thing or a bad thing. It's like, oh, reading more is good for everybody.
Sure.
But if baking cookies in the kitchen promotes something like that with your family, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird for somebody in the health and fitness space to talk about that because it's cookies.
Well,
because it gets extra calories and fat and can't be good for you.
Yeah, we went through the same thing. Just being on lockdown and then just the overall tension of the household. Like, we all feel it, we all experience, and it's, I mean, you just find yourself getting short, you know, and things like that normally would just roll off irritate you a little bit more because we're confined. Everybody's feeling that same stress, and we're all kind of on top of each other. You know, there's still things to do. There's school, there's virtual things, you know, there's you know the dogs, everybody else is like kind of reacting, and so to have like something like a treat, or like for us it was like a pizza night, you know, and like we kind of we're all looking forward to the end of the night where we're going to get this pizza, and like the whole household's mood was elevated. We're elevated, we're cool, we're talking with each other. So again, it's you know, this isn't a repeatable pattern of like, okay, well, this is the answer for every time we all get stressed, or you know, there's other outlets.
Great
but
point.
But this is something that is in like, it's a treat. A treat is something that you can look forward to, enjoy, partake in it. And it's not something that like I'm like, this is a new button where I'm always hitting this button. It's something that I occasionally do.
Very good. Because can you use things like junk food and maybe leisure as a way to distract yourself? Yeah. Is that healthy? Sometimes it is. Usually it's not. Sometimes it is. You know, if you're that perfect parent, you know, and you're doing everything right now and you're just, oh my gosh, I got so much on my shoulders right now. I'm homeschooling my kids. I got to worry about my job. I'm trying to create some structure at home and I'm a little worried, and it takes 3 hours to go to the grocery store because of the lines and this, all the weird stuff. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you put the kids to bed and you're like, I just need a break. I just need a 15-minute break.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to eat a cupcake and just chill for a second. Fine. Is that healthy? It can be. Now, is that, like Justin said, if that's your, you know, like if that's your button that you push all the time, every time you're stressed, you reach for a cupcake to medicate yourself, well, that's abuse.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. But if you do it in the right way with the right mindfulness around it, now it can become a very healthy thing. You know, it's funny to me when you look at like lifespans around the world, and you look at countries that have longer lifespans than others. You know, countries like Italy, you know, they live longer typically than people do in America. And there's lots of, you know, well, it's because of this. No, here's the deal. Italians love to eat. They also love to smoke, and they love drinking. They smoke way more than we do. Smoking is one of the worst things you could do for your physical health. It's really generally a totally unhealthy thing. But how the hell do they outlive us? Go to Italy and see how they are with each other. Mm-hmm. Well, look at the relationships that they foster with each other. They place a lot of value on relationships, on community, and on connecting with other people. And I believe that to be the reason why people in Italy outlive us. And the studies on the world's blue zones actually show that. One of the things, when they study, so blue zones are areas in the world where a disproportionate, in comparison to the rest of the world, disproportionate amount of people live to 100. Okay. And there's like the island of Sardinia, which is a part of Italy, is one of them. There's Okinawa is one. There's an island off of Greece. There's the Loma Linda, California, the Seventh-day Adventist. They live a long time. There's other areas. There's a bunch of them, right? And they studied them, and then what they tried to do is find commonalities. What they thought was they would find like silver bullets. They thought that they would examine these cultures and be like, right, oh, there it is. Everybody eats
so much vitamin D, or you know, omega-3s over here.
Yeah, everybody eats a, you know, vegan diet. Everybody eats a, you know, pescatarian, or everybody, and they didn't see that. They saw some stuff that was common, but it wasn't no silver bullet. But there was one silver bullet. They all had good close, you know, and they rated highly their relationships, the people around them, every single one of them. Mm-hmm. All of them had them. The Seventh-day Adventists was part of their church. Okinawa, you know, and Sardinia, and in the island off of Greece, it was the people who were old were very connected to their
really
their,
tight communities,
their great grandkids, and they all had purpose and meaning. All of that, that was one of the most common things that had these people live the longest, and had nothing to do with diet and exercise.
Listen, be moderate in order to taste the joys of life in abundance.
Oh. Who said that?
Some Stoics, way smarter than me.
I was going to say, that's profound, Adam. No,
hey, mine. Hey, mine. But it's fucking brilliant.
Epicurus.
Is that who said it?
Yeah, I just remembered.
It's brilliant. And I think the thing that you have to understand is that, and I'm very careful when I talk about this type of a message to my clients, because as a fitness professional, it's important too that you don't just give them the green light of, oh,
right,
you know, Sal, Justin, and Adam on Mind Pump said baking cakes. Exactly. Baking cakes and eating cookies and drinking alcohol, it can be healthy. And so they sort of, you have to be very, very mindful and understand where the line of abuse and detachment comes from, right? And I think that you have to be careful of that, because using it as a tool to have fun with your family and connect together and enjoy, as Sal says, the hedonistic values of food together at that moment, totally awesome. But there's a difference between you having a couple of those cookies and enjoying that whole, and obviously part of the process of baking and communicating is also enjoying the actual thing that you made. Mm-hmm. So understanding the value of enjoying that and then overindulging. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing that goes for alcohol. Like,
totally.
There's a time and place. Like, you know, if you've been stressed out because of what's going on with the coronavirus all day, you don't know what's going on with your job currently right now, you know, the kids are at home all day long, and the house is finally quiet, and you and your partner together, and you're like, man, let's be lazy, watch our favorite Netflix series and have a glass or two of wine together like that. Totally understandable. Drinking three bottles of wine at that same time, different story. Or even more importantly, because if you did that one time, not a big deal, running that back night after night after night.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Now it has control of you and you don't have control of it. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why we avoid talking about things like this so much, or we typically throw it in the category of bad, is because it's easier for it to become addictive. It's easier for you to abuse it because it feels good, it tastes good. And so there's that fine line when, as a fitness professional, when I'm presenting this message of, you know, I have to really know who I'm talking to make sure I communicate this correctly.
It's also the context of the time. Okay. The reality is, for the most part, you know, when we're running this podcast, life is normal. We're talking to people and they're on their way to work and they have normal life and it's all, you know, everything's going right now. Right now, excuse me, is a little bit different. It's not a normal time. It's mm-hmm. weird. This is the weirdest time I've ever experienced in my entire life. Right. So right now, here's what I'm seeing a lot of. I'm seeing a lot of people who are not only stressed about what's going on, but they're stressed about the fact that they're not perfect with their diet. And oh my God, I think I gained 5 pounds. And oh my God, and you know, yeah.
Why are you going to add more gasoline to this?
Yeah, like what am I doing or whatever? Or I'm getting messages like this from people who are like, Sal, I need your help. Yesterday, I had junk food. Like, what am I going to do? And I tell them, be it's okay. You had junk food one day.
Forgive
yourself. It's okay. And considering the context of what's going on, maybe that's what you needed that day. But here's the reality. Okay, the reality is this. For the most part, I'd say the vast majority of times, healthy looks like usually most of the time you're eating foods that are physically healthy, whole natural foods. You're not overeating. For the most part, most of the time, you're consistent with your activity and exercise and physical self-care. For the most part, you're doing all the classic things that we know that are good for you. Most, vast majority of the time, it's the every once in a while when you do the other stuff, when and you have good you know, attitude around it and you're not abusing it, that it can also be healthy. It's when it gets flipped that it becomes a problem. Like junk food, if that becomes your only way to escape and you do it all the time, it's bad. It's not good. It's not good for you. But if you're a healthy person, and like I did the other day when I made cookies with my kids, no problem. I had no stress. I ate those cookies. I wasn't thinking to myself like, oh my God, I'm going to get fat. I ate so much sugar. What have I done? I gave my kids had 3 cookies each. I'm such a bad father. No, 99.9% of the time, we eat very, very, very healthy. That 0.1% of the time, we need to have cookies tonight. Mm-hmm. Where everybody's stressed out, everybody's worried, let's all bake some cookies and have a good time, and let's just forget about what's going on right now.
The neat thing about that, too, is especially when you're talking about with kids, right? Like, because that is something that you don't do consistently, the joy that you get from it is much higher than something that you do all the time.
Now it's valuable. Absolutely.
Right. There's no novelty in it. If you do it every single night, then it's the norm and almost expected, and then it's borderline abused or can be abused.
Dude, I had that experience with cannabis. You know, there was a period of my life where there was a lot of crazy stuff going on, and you know, I was using cannabis for my gut health, and I started using it on a regular basis. And I started noticing that if I used it on a regular basis, all the positive effects I was getting from it, I wasn't getting anymore. I was just getting more of the negatives. And so I started to realize it's just I'm having it too much. I got to cut way back. And when I cut way back and utilize it the proper way, then I get some of those benefits that you know you hear about from cannabinoids like CBD, THC, and all that stuff.
God, speaking of that, somebody just asked me. I think it was it in our forum or one of my questions. What I thought about like dabbing and stuff, and you know, I said, man,
stream.
I said that's way beyond me because if I'm being completely honest, and now mind you, there's always exceptions to the rule. There's somebody who has extreme crippling pain that they're in. That it takes that level of medication for them to feel numb or whatever. But at that point, I have to ask myself if I've scaled to that level to where I'm using or needing that to feel the positive effects that you're saying is, does this have more control over me than I have over it?
That's a good question, I think, generally to ask yourself of all of that.
That's what I think on all of these things that we're talking about, everything from relationship to spiritual to mental, talking about junk food, talking about alcohol, is that's the question you always have to be able to ask yourself is like, do I have control of this or does it have control of me? And it's a very easy answer if, you know, you mindlessly ate 10 cookies after you bake them, that you lack the self-control and it has more control over you then. But if you enjoyed baking cookies with your kids and you had it in moderation or it lasted over the next week and you had a cookie or two every other day, like, not a big deal. You have to, but you've got to be always doing those checks and balances to make sure that you're falling in that moderation part of the spectrum and not on the extremes.
Totally. And there are ways, by the way, that you know you can make some of these things less damaging, but just as enjoyable. Where you can mitigate a lot of the negatives. Like, here's an example. Okay, we're talking about junk food or whatever. Let's say right now you're like, look, I want to give myself a little bit more leeway to have junk food, here and there, okay? Just because of what's going on right now, I'm not feeling good. Plus, it's processed. I don't want to go to the grocery store every day, and processed food just lasts a long time, so I'm going to buy more processed food than I normally do. Well, here's a couple ways you can mitigate some of the negatives. There's healthier junk food. There's processed food that's not as bad as other processed food. You know, rather than buying, you know, if I'm going to buy like gummy snacks, rather than buying the one that's, you know, made out of wax and chemicals and crazy shit, maybe I'll buy the more natural one that's got, you know, maybe less calories and comes in smaller packs. This one I learned from Adam. This was Adam's, you know, competing strategy where he would put his snacks or treats or whatever in small bags portioned out. That way he knew if he wanted to eat, you know, some, you know, honey roasted peanuts, rather than grabbing the whole jar, it was a baggie with 1 ounce. You know, that's like a way to mitigate.
I love hacks like that, and I love that. I just posted on my story yesterday the recipe for my peanut butter balls. Those taste better than any damn cookie I've ever had, and it's a, you know, quote-unquote—
You need to brand that.
It's a quote-unquote healthy—
Adam's peanut butter balls in your mouth.
Did I just say that? I didn't say Adam's peanut butter. I said my peanut butter balls.
I think you should.
Adam, this is brown
balls. Taste my peanut butter
Adam's
balls.
Brown nutty
But
balls.
I mean, really, all it's peanut butter, honey, and whey protein.
And, what do you do? Just mix it?
Delicious.
And oats. Yeah. And you just mix it in a bowl, and you make balls out of it, and you put it in the refrigerator.
Oh.
And it's amazing, and it's got.
I've had these before.
Yeah, I brought them to
you. They are amazing.
Had a full mouthful.
It's enough.
I'm sorry.
I only had two.
Yeah,
that was my last one.
But I mean, and again, it's something that Katrina and I can make. It's a treat. It's something that at least when I'm getting it, I'm getting a moderation of protein in there, healthier fats, even the source of sugars coming from honey. Like it's a better treat to have. So, that's part of that mindfulness. It's just knowing that I just as easily could have grabbed a box of Chips Ahoy at the grocery store.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. What I know is both those treats will feed my soul or feed that other side of me the same way, yeah. right? It breaks up the weighing and measuring food and all that crap and like worrying about that so much. I get to enjoy the hedonistic values yeah. without it being so crappy. Like
plus, it quells like somewhat of the tendency to then you know binge you know and go like completely off the mm-hmm. rails. Like you know, like it being a little more flexible and introducing things that like might be you know considered a treat, but maybe a little bit more healthier version of the treat. You know, may help to kind of suppress that urge to just well, go yeah, crazy.
I think of things like the and this is where we've talked about this, and we have I think a split down the middle in our forum that's we've shared like. The Halo ice creams. And, you know, those things are an example of that point you're making of, you know, this is, I love ice cream. I've been talked mm-hmm. about that many a times. And what's neat, if you were to eat that whole thing, a Halo ice cream, they range from 280 to like, I think the highest one is, I think 360, maybe 400 calories in comparison to a Ben and Jerry's, which is 1700.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So there's a dramatic difference.
That's
there,
what I mean. Right. You could pick, you know, beef jerky is a good example. Nuts are a good example. Dried fruit that's not that they don't add tons of sugar to, and then portion it out, and you know, be you know realistic with yourself. Put them up in little baggies, and then when you want to grab something to snack on, or it's a better choice. It's just a better choice than a full box of cookies or a whole bag of potato chips. And look, again, not demonizing one or the other, but just giving you strategies to kind of balance it, you know, out a little bit. You know, alcohol, here's a good one. Here's how you can mitigate alcohol. First off, don't drink right before you go to bed, because yeah. now you've added not only the fact that you drank alcohol, which isn't physically good for you, but you've now added that you're going to have shitty sleep on top of it.
Well, also, I mean, this is my own personal hack. It's not like that profound or anything, but I just started drinking whiskey, you know, and by itself, like not no added anything else. Like you're just sipping on it. And so therefore it's like you're not going to just run through like you would making it all nice and easy to just like wash back like with so just Coke.
Drink, what you're telling people is drink straight.
Go straight, go hard, and sip it slow.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell people if you're going to do that, you better have something like Z-Biotic before to make sure that you don't get
there
fucked
you go,
up.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, so what I do with Z-Biotics, for the listeners who don't know, Z-Biotics is it's a probiotic. We just started working with them. It's actually an ingenious invention, but it's a genetically modified probiotic that actually the bacteria consume some of the byproducts of alcohol. So and the byproducts that cause the shitty, bad gut, you know, inflamed feeling, some people would say it contributes to the hangover. So you could drink this before and then have alcohol. I'll take the Z-Biotics. I'm just having one glass of wine. I'm not even drinking, you know, tons of alcohol. Just one glass of wine. And what I notice is I just feel a lot better anyway. And I do it during the day. I don't like fucking up my sleep. You know, mm-hmm. drinking at night, that was a game changer.
Your sleep.
Oh, I remember learning that as a young adult, you know, where when you're young, you go out with your buddies, it's at night. Then the next day you feel crappy. And then I remember one time, you know, it was like a Saturday and I went, you know, down, I don't remember where it was. It was like some festival or whatever. And I was kind of drinking during the day and then allowed myself to sober up a little, went to bed, woke up the next day. I was like, wow, I feel so much better. Like, oh, I know why. I slept, mm-hmm. you know? So these are just some strategies. Here's a way to mitigate the negative effects of being inactive or lazy or unproductive. Schedule it. This sounds funny, but this is true. Schedule it. Put it in your schedule tonight. At, you know, 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to sit on the couch and do whatever I want. Or I'm about to surf social media. What time is it right now? 4:30? Okay, I'm going to give myself 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule it. These are just strategies
you can use. It's like recess.
That's it. It's just strategies you can use to help prevent yourself from turning things that can become, that you can start to develop a poor relationship with and help kind of manage that. That's all.
I also have one that's kind of like, I think counter common knowledge. And that is like when I'm going to, if I know I'm going to have a glass of wine, or if I know I'm going to have one of these treats, I'm actually, the common knowledge thing would be to have low calories or fast. Therefore, when I have the wine or I have this thing, It doesn't absorb all of my calorie.
So you got the same calories.
Right. That would be common knowledge. But I actually coach to and utilize differently because I know that when I don't eat or I'm low calorie, I'm like ravenous and I want to eat. And then I eat something that's hyper palatable. It makes that discipline to only have so many even more challenging because my body wants more calories and this thing is really good. Mm-hmm. So I prefer to have my good meal or have whatever I have planned. And then afterwards, I enjoy the treat of whatever it is because it's easier for me to shut it down because I've already kind of filled myself up on nutritious, good food before I do that. And it is. It's against kind of common knowledge. You would think that it would be a smarter strategy when we're talking about calories in versus calories out to have less food earlier in the day. But behavioral speaking, I find, and I think anybody can relate to this before, where you just get busy at work and you're doing things and you normally would have had lunch at noon and you totally skip that. And now it's 4 or 5 and you're driving home from work and maybe nothing's prepared for dinner and you're like starving.
Shovel it in.
And well, not only that, but that's the time that you make that fast food choice. So that's that time that you reach for something quick and palatable because and overindulge because you waited till you were really hungry. I utilize when I'm doing something where I'm allowing junk food, alcohol, any of these types of foods into my diet, I actually do the opposite. I still say, okay, I really want that treat tonight, but I'm actually going to eat this meal that I need or I should have first. I have that. And what I realize is then afterwards, sometimes one, I'm satisfied and then I'm like, I don't really need it tonight or I don't feel like it. Or if I still decide that I feel like it, I don't have a hard time only eating two, you know, versus having that treat while you're also really hungry, that is going to challenge your ability to be very mindful of not overindulging.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, really the ultimate message is to understand that your health encompasses a lot more than just the physical side, your fitness, how lean you are, how strong you are, how you can move. It encompasses a lot of different things and they're all interconnected. And be kind to yourself. Take care of yourself. Sometimes, not often, but sometimes that means you have a little bit of junk food. You maybe have a glass of wine or like Justin said, you have straight whiskey. Or you sit
for all the champions out there.
Or you sit on the couch and you veg out on TV. Most of the time it means you're eating, you know, what are considered classically healthy foods, whole natural foods. You're not overeating, you're active. But at the end of the day, you consider the whole sphere of health. And right now are weird times, and what you may need might be different than what you normally need. And if you may be at war with yourself because you can't do what you were doing before, and you think to yourself, why can't I just be as strict and crazy? Because think times are different, and maybe you need to take care of yourself a little bit differently today. And again, at the end of the day, anything can be abused, so abusing anything is unhealthy. Of course, that includes junk food and being lazy. And with that, go to mindpumpfree.com and download all of our guides, resources, and books. They're all totally free. You can also find us on Instagram. You can find Justin at mindpumpjustin. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal and Adam at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.